I want this morning to read from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 16 and 17. And here it says, Paul says, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. And yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. And behold, all things are become new. And that has passed away is the flesh. He says, behold, all things are become new." Well, Jesus, his ministry was coming to an end. He was leaving. They would no more, his disciples would no more walk with him. They were going to learn how to walk in the Spirit. His purpose on this earth was completed. He was coming to the end. And Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure. For him to depart, he was leaving. He was going back to the Father. You know, the book of John is such a wonderful book. It's there that we learn of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord was preparing his disciples. And I want to look in the book of John, in the Gospel of John. And if you've studied John, John is a wonderful book. If ever there is a book to guide someone to begin to read the Word of God, take them to the book of John. And it's a wonderful book. But Jesus was leaving. And no more was he going to walk with his disciples, and his disciples were no longer going to walk with him. And they were going to learn to walk in the Spirit. Our Lord at this point in time knew that there was great change coming. I don't know that the disciples were so aware. Sometimes we hear things, we know things, we're taught things, but until they become reality or practical, it doesn't really sink in. And what Jesus was telling his disciples had not yet sunken in. They had, for 3.5 years, they had walked with the Lord down here. You know, he was a witness to the whole world. I thought, you know, we looked at the 12th chapter of Exodus, and there was the Passover lamb. That lamb was, the lamb had to be taken out of the herd. It was a perfect lamb that could have no blemish. And that was a type of our Lord. But he was kept up for 4 days as he was examined. He had to pass the test. And I thought our Lord was examined by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious order of that time. He was examined by the Jews. I'll tell you who else he was examined by was Satan himself, as the Lord was driven into the wilderness. And I'll tell you that Jesus passed every test. While he was here telling who he was, the works that he did testified of who he was, because there was no man ever alive that could do the works that he had done. And he told him, he said, "If you don't believe me that I'm the Son of God for my word," he said, "just believe me for the works' sake." No one else could heal blinded eyes. No one else could raise the dead. There was no one else that recorded in the scriptures that could do all of these things. Our Lord, it's recorded with him that he did these things daily. And he was a testimony as to who he was, and he was sent from God. And he made no make no mistake about it. He was sent from God, and he was not ashamed to say that. He told his disciples in preparing them, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God," he said, "believe also in me." It was important that they understood that he came from God. And he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." So now he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." He was telling his disciples yet again that he was leaving. And he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." He let them know he was coming back and he would receive them unto himself. He said, where I am, there you may be also. Now, there is so much here, and I have to bypass so much, so I'm just going to select some scriptures here, but in the 14th, in John 14, again, in verse 16, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And then he said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now Jesus was preparing them for the Holy Spirit, and as he calls him here, the Comforter. He said, the Father shall give you another Comforter. The Lord was their Comforter then and at that time. And again, I cannot say enough that they were with him for 3.5 years. And while they were with him, they had not a care or a worry in the world. They just simply knew that the Lord was the master of every situation. They had walked with him. They knew who he was. They understood him. And there was nothing that was hidden from him. It's amazing to me as I think the Lord had all of this knowledge. He was God in the flesh and had presented himself to Israel to walk in their midst. He was their king. He was the one that had come to set them free from the law. And he was the one, he was that prophet. You know, they asked about John the Baptist. They said, are you that prophet? Who was that prophet? That prophet was the one that they were looking for, that God told Moses about in Deuteronomy, I believe it was the 18th chapter and the 15th verse. That prophet that God was going to raise up like Moses. They would be able to see him and to touch him and to feel him. Because they said, when God speaks, don't let God speak to us. Let him speak to you, Moses, because we don't want to hear his voice. They saw the awesomeness of who he was. And they knew that this God was holy. And he demanded holiness. He would settle for nothing else. And this is why that Jesus was brought into God's plan. The manifestation of God, of who he was. Because only God could atone for the sins of all of Israel. And they were typically a sinning people, just as a type of the flesh, as you and I have the sin stain in us. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the only one that could atone for the sin. It was God. And Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. And he was telling them, I'm going away. Well, they did not know what was lying in store for them. The Lord knew, and he always spoke ahead, and it was almost always over their head. But they were going to understand what he was saying after he was gone. So he said he was going to pray the Father to give them another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, this comforter he's an intercessor, an advocate. That's what he means here. And he said, even the Spirit of truth. Now, I want to say that the Holy Ghost is a Spirit of truth. And I thought many times the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and he speaks many times things to us. We hear him. Some don't understand that don't walk in the Spirit. And someone was listening one time while I was speaking, and you know, when you say that Spirit says something to you, how do you hear the Spirit of God? How does he speak to you? I can't explain that exactly, except it's something that you know. He speaks. It comes right into your mind, and you know it's the Spirit, and it witnesses with your spirit. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll hear the voice of God. You'll hear him. He speaks in different manners. I heard Adam say this morning as he was waking up, whenever it was, he said that the Lord had spoke. It was on his lips. That was the Holy Spirit. When God said he was shaking the heavens and the earth, that was the Holy Spirit. God comes and he speaks to you. I remember one time years ago when I was having a problem with my heart, and I was praying and asking the Lord to help me. You know, I was too young to be having heart problems. And I was praying and asking God. And that very next morning when I was in my bed and I got out of my bed, as soon as my feet hit the ground, I heard the Lord say, and he spoke to me. He said, I've already taken care of it. And when God speaks to you, you have an avenue with him. If you have the Holy Spirit, and these disciples were going to learn to move and to walk in the Holy Spirit. And this is why Jesus was speaking to them and telling them that he was going to leave. His ministry was coming to an end. He was going to die for the sins of the world and be put to death, but he was also going to be raised again from the dead. And our Lord had to address this to his disciples. And he called him, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him. There's no image of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Lord said, the Lord likened the Holy Spirit as the wind. You can't see him with your eye, but you can feel him. You know when he's there. I feel that his presence right now. And you can go into somewhere and all of a sudden you feel the presence of the Lord. I remember years ago when Maureen and I lived in a house, of course, and I walked into the kitchen that night and woo, it was like ice cold. And I just turned around. I didn't feel the presence of the Lord. I felt another presence. I said, I don't want to be there. But you can, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, you are the temple of the living God. He dwells in you. You are his temple. You are a living, breathing temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of truth dwells in you, but the world can't receive him because they can't see him. They neither know him, he said, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Lord was looking ahead, and he knew that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they would learn to rely upon the Holy Ghost. In the 16th chapter of the book of John, in verse 7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so Jesus was preparing again his disciples for ministry. Let me read in verse 12, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And you know, the Lord, and you could say that would apply to us. You know, we are in a time, coming into a time where I believe that and things are changing. They're going to change. God's going to, as the disciples were going to learn the Lord, they were not going to continue walking with him on this earth. When our Lord was resurrected, he didn't go back with his disciples into Israel, into Jerusalem. He didn't go back there with his disciples and continue what he was doing before. There was a change coming. God's purpose was being fulfilled. And I want to say this morning that God's purpose is also going to be fulfilled in his people, in you, and those filled with the Holy Ghost. His purpose is going to be changed because he is going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to send it over this world. It's going to penetrate into all the nations of the world. That Holy Ghost is going to come down and God's going to move. There is a great harvest that is yet to happen upon this earth. Let me tell you something about harvest. I thought, you know, when I grew up, I grew up in the middle of an orange grove. Well, once a year, those oranges, do you know those oranges, they didn't ripen at one date of time and another date. They all came due at the same time. And let me tell you that there is a harvest. The Lord said that the fields were white and ready to harvest. They are white and they are ready, the whole field. And this is why he said, pray for laborers to go into the harvest, because the laborers are few. The harvest is great. It's coming to fruition here. And you and I are living to see this day of the harvest of the Lord. There is a time coming, and it's called the rapture of the church. I want to say that for the most part today, that's a doctrine that's not talked about very much. But nevertheless, it's true. And God is going to rapture his people out of this world. It would behoove us to seek the Lord at this time, because we are living in the time before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth. But also before that, he's going to rapture his people out of this world by rank and order. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, those of us that are alive and the dead will be caught up first. They'll be resurrected. But then he said, then those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air. And that there will be many that will be ready to meet him, and there will be many that will not be ready. They will have to wait for another outgoing, because he's taking his church out by rank and by order. And so he said in verse John 16:7, nevertheless, he said, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus had to depart, and he did. He had to depart before the Holy Spirit would come. Then his office work is great. And he said, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I'm going to pass over for time. He said in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, the Lord had told him, and in verse that he was leaving, he said, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. The Lord was with his disciples. It was not necessary. He had come to the nation of Israel, and he presented himself just as the scriptures had predicted ahead of time. And his disciples, as I said, they were with him. But he said, but now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. So they understood him in a measure that he was leaving. He knew that their heart was sorrowful because he was leaving. Now, I don't. Beyond that, what he had told them was that he was going to send another comforter for them. And that comforter then was going to walk with them. And I thought, in verse 16 of John 16, Jesus said, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while? and you shall not see me again. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. They didn't understand. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And I want to leave that there, that little while. But the disciples didn't know it at this time, but they were going to minister in a different dimension themselves than they had ever known. Remember, he sent them out one time, his disciples. He sent them out, remember, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he told them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told them to heal the sick, raise the dead, all these diseases. And they did all of those things. And they came back rejoicing that they said, even the spirits are subject unto us. They knew what that was. But he also told them he's not to go to the house of the Gentiles, but to stay to the sheep of Israel. And so they did. They did not go to the Gentiles. Well, Jesus, this little while that he spoke of here, was about to transpire. And he said, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Our Lord was introducing them to the Father. And I think he told Mary Magdalene, he said, I go to, as he was raising it, he said, I go to my Father and I go to your Father. This was the Father now. And they were going to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. He was going to be the intercessor. I have to say that in God's plan, such a marvelous plan, he raised up the Apostle Paul to put the church in order. It was God's plan all along that the church be put in order, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Now the time had come, and where Jesus now was going to be crucified. They knew that he was leaving. Judas, of course, betrays our Lord. He betrays him for 30 pieces of silver. It was already known in the scriptures in Zechariah. Judas knew where Jesus and the disciples went in the garden. Judas comes with a band of soldiers with swords and lights. And Judas comes to the Lord and kisses him. You know, he was betraying him. And so they bind him, they take him. And I thought as he was taken away, the disciples, and we went over this last week, and I just touch on this. But they take him bound, they take him to Annas. First he goes to the chief priest. The chief priest then accuse him. They send him to Pilate. Pilate sends him to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate. Pilate then turns him over to the Jews. And in the course of all of this, our Lord is beaten, he's whipped, he's spit on, he's put a crown of thorns crushed down upon his head. He's made to look like a piece of hamburger meat, if you want to put it that way, because his visage was so marred more than any man, the scripture said. He was unrecognizable. The chief priest were yelling out, crucify him. Pilate, as you read, tried to have him released, but the Jews would have none of it. And they said, Pilate said to them, shall I release your king to you? And they said, we have no king but Caesar. Caesar is our king. And I'll tell you, for that reason, it was Pilate that let him go, and they crucified him. But as we well know, on the third day, our Lord was resurrected. Now, the disciples, they were in total grief at this time because they had seen their Lord crucified. You know, the family was gathered around, and they watched his crucifixion. His mother was there. Can you imagine? They saw the soldiers pounding the nails into his hands, into his feet. They saw everything. But the Lord told them that joy, you know, weeping endures through the night, but joy comes in the morning. But great joy came to the disciples when they realized that he had been resurrected. He was not dead. He was alive. They rejoiced in that. And he was seen. The disciples at first, they didn't believe that he was alive. We mentioned last week, Thomas didn't believe it. But he finally believed it. He said, Thomas, put your hand in my hand here. He said, Thomas, put your hand in my... You know, before they took him off the cross, they had to be dead. If they weren't dead, they broke their legs. The Lord died first. They broke the legs of the other two, but when they came to the Lord, they saw he was dead already. But one of the soldiers took a spear, and he shoved it up into his side, and out came blood and water. All types of redemption. Well, he was seen then. He walked through doors. He ate in front of them. He let them know. But they were never congregated together again. And as I said, things now had changed. And now he was going to point them in a different direction, his disciples. He had raised them up for this purpose. And now he was going to set them on the course to receive the Holy Ghost. To receive the Holy Spirit. And he revealed himself to me. Remember on the road to Emmaus, Jesus walked with two disciples. They didn't recognize him. And while they walked, he expounded to them the scriptures. They said, haven't you heard of the things that have happened in Jerusalem? Well, they invited him to come in at the end of their journey to their house. He came in, he ate with them and said he took bread, he broke it, and their eyes were opened and they knew him. And as soon as their eyes were opened, he vanished out of their sight. And it was then they realized it was the Lord. All of these things, so many things were going to come back to the disciples. Things that he had said. One of the things, the work of the Holy Ghost, was that he would bring all things to your remembrance, Jesus said, whatsoever I have said unto you. They could understand what he said. They could also read it in the book of Psalms and in the prophets. And that was the office work of the Holy Ghost. In Luke 24, he appeared to the disciples and said they were terrified and affrighted. They were just scared to death. They thought he was a spirit. What did he look like? Why were they so afraid? So he showed them his hands and feet. He said, handle me. He said, does a spirit have flesh and bone? You know, that's not going to be our new body, flesh and bone. He ate in front of them to let them know that, you know, I think we're, you know, in the new creation body, we're going to feast, I think. You might have another idea, but in his new creation body, he was eating, and he displayed that. He was seen of Mary Magdalene before he ascended. She saw him. He said she recognized him when he called her name. And she turned. And he said, touch me not. I've not yet ascended. He hadn't gone to the Father yet. But she came back as a witness. It also says in 1 Corinthians 15, 5, he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. He was seen also of 500 brethren at once. Then he was seen of James. But I want to read to you in Acts, the first chapter, and I'll wind this up for for time. But in verse 3 of chapter 1, he was seen of them 40 days. You know, when he went to heaven, when he was resurrected, he came back, but he was here for 40 days. And while he was here, it said he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He was here for a purpose, but he wasn't walking the streets of nothing was the same again. His relationship with his disciples had changed. Paul said, know no man after the flesh. They were not to know Christ after the flesh ever again. And when it comes down to it, we're not to know each other after the flesh, but after the new creation. If you want to, you may not like what you know after the flesh. Know them after the new creation. Amen? And so he gave them orders. He said, he commanded them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And he did tell them this. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, I want to say this before I quit. Remember, there were 12 disciples. And in this chapter, Peter received a revelation. And all of the disciples that were there were 11. Remember, Judas had already killed himself. And there were 11 disciples, there had to be 12. And while they were gathered together, Peter stood up in their midst in verse 15. He stood up. Now, this was a revelation to Peter. When he stood up, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost also. He stood up with the 11, but here Peter stood up. And he said in verse 24, it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, speaking of Judas Iscariot, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric, or his apostleship, let another take. And you can find those in Psalm 69, 25, and Psalms 109, 9. And Peter received this as a revelation in the scriptures. So they appointed two to take Judas's place, so there would be 12. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And the scriptures say that they prayed, and then it says, they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whither of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So now there were 12. So now they were set. So now they were in Jerusalem. And now they were in the upper room. And they were waiting now for the promise of the Father. And while they were there, you know, it was 10 days to Pentecost after our Lord was taken up. And they went to that upper room in there. And you talk about a change that changed their lives completely, turned them upside down. They turned the world upside down. There was such a move of the Holy Ghost that they could not contain themselves. What they did is they obeyed the Lord, and they were there waiting and praying, and they were on the day of Pentecost, and when that day came, they heard that sound from heaven. They heard a mighty rushing wind. It's what they heard, and then it filled all the house. I could imagine filling the house. I'm going to stop right there or I'll start preaching. When this Holy Spirit, when God, and he's moving now, make no mistake, God is moving now. But we are coming into a time when there is going to come a monster. I don't know how to describe it, a monstrous move of the Holy Spirit. It's going to fill the house. It's going to fill this house. It's going to fill your house. It's going to fill you in your prayer life. You are going to come into a dimension that you did not know or you didn't realize. God is going to visit you. He's going to visit this earth. He's going to make a ministry of visitation through the Holy Spirit. I remember one time years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and we were going through a hard time. And I remember waking up and as I woke up, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit so strong, and I saw little lights, they were just all over in the atmosphere, and they were just blinking, and they were just twittering or whatever, but it was the presence of the Lord, and he came into our room and just visited us. I don't know, I can't say why he did that exactly, except that God is going to visit his people. And let me tell you, if you'll take the word of God and you'll seek after him, put him first in your life, make him number one, he will visit you. Ask him what it is that he would have you to do. Tell him you want to be ready for the first outgo. Let me tell you, you don't want to miss that one. You don't want to miss that. Amen.